officials from the department and the honorable member.
Morning, Chair.
I just want to check whether we form a quorum so that we can continue with our meeting.
Good morning, Chair. We have 5 members, 4 provinces available on the platform.
I just want to check on the side of the department. Are you fine so that we can continue?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Philiso Makubela here. We are fine, Chair. I am the acting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Makubela. We still have 4 provinces in the platform, Bulelo. Okay. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody to our meeting for today. I am not going to waste any time because today is a very, very busy day again. We must finish before 12:30 because we are having another meeting at 12:30. So let me check whether oh yes. Let me get the apology. I mean the agenda for today's meeting. Bulelo. Bulelo, let the agenda for today's meeting. Okay, while we are still doing that, I think we are receiving the presentation from the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. And then the second, and the apologies, I don't get anything here, Bulelwa. Apologies, and after the presentation, it will be the adoption of the previous minutes, meeting minutes. So let's get the apologies in the meantime while I'm still waiting for Bulelwa to put on the screen the agenda of today. Apologies. Do we have any apologies from our side, Amanda? I mean, Bulelwa.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Nana.
Good morning, colleagues. I would like to submit an apology for Kathy Labuskagne. She will not be able to attend this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Any apology from our side?
Yes, Chair, we have an apology from Honorable De Bruin.
Okay, Honorable De Bruin, and who else? Those are the only 2 apologies that from our side that we receive. Okay, thank you very much. Let me go to the department. Mr. Makubela, do you have any apology from your side?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to yourself, Chair, and the other honorable members. Chair, we have an apology from the minister who is attending to a visit by the two prime ministers from Denmark and Netherlands. He is there with the Honorable President. Then we also have an apology from the Deputy Minister and the DG. The Deputy Minister and the DG are out of the country attending a meeting in Kenya of African energy ministers. Those are the apologies, Chair. The rest of the team is with me, and I'm here in the capacity of acting DG. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and Dr. Makubela. I can see the hand of Honorable Fitari. Honorable Fitari. Honorable Fitari.
Honorable, I'm actually sister. I'm not Fitari, but that's okay. Don't worry about that. Honorable Chair, I just want to ask you, who is our executive undertaking body today in this meeting? If the minister, the deputy minister, the DG, the whatever, nobody is there. Not that the DG is accountable for his for executive undertakings, but where is those that should be here in this meeting? Why wasn't we informed before? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fisa. Honorable Magwala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, man, I've missed you on the time that you were doing the apologies. I want to put in the apology of Honorable Mukawuse.
Oh, okay. No, it's noted. Thanks. Honorable member, there are meetings that need a political head. Sometimes, like for example, this briefing, really it doesn't need the political head. It's not like when we are dealing with your, what do you call, annual performance plan where we need the political head. This one is a briefing from the department. I don't think it needs the political heat. So, Honorable Karim, it doesn't have any political, we are not going to receive any political info, I mean, something that needs a political intervention or need something, need the minister or the deputy to answer for that. So Ntate Maqubela is here. He's representing the deputy, I mean, the DG, the director general, whereby he is not around. He is not in the country.
Thank you, Honorable. I hear what you say. In this instance where there's not, everybody's like, in acting positions, I'm just thinking about accountability and who's going to be responsible for what the things that have happened here today. Thank you.
Is Mr. Makubela, he will be responsible for what is going to happen today, Honorable Member. Thank you, members. Let me not waste any time and give to you, Makubela, to continue with the presentation that we are waiting to receive from you or anyone who you will be assigned to give us the presentation. Thank you. Dr. Makubela.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And also thanks to the Honorable Members. As I indicated, Chair, I am here in my capacity as the acting DG for this current period. I'm accompanied by the team from the nuclear branch, as well as other DDGs from other components, who always attend the select committee briefings. We also have the CEO and the COO of the National Radioactive Waste Institute. They are in the meeting. We felt that it is important that they also then accompany us should there be any issues that pertain to the actual management of radioactive waste. Chair, we have we always have pleased to come and account and appear before the select committee. We have a short presentation of about 18 slides, Chair, and Mr. Maphoto, who is the DDG responsible for nuclear energy. He is responsible because also the current the DDG himself is on leave this week, and he has that responsibility. He will be doing the presentation, Chair. With your permission, I'll hand over to Mr. Maphoto. Thank you, Chair.
You can continue, Mr. Matkobira.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Mr. Matkobira, for the introduction. Yes, my name is Katsi Maphoto. I'm the Chief Director of Nuclear Safety and Technology and currently acting DDG on behalf of Mr. Mbambo. Like Mr. Matkobira has already said, Mr. Mbambo is now on leave. I'm going to try and switch off my camera just for the purpose of this, and then take you through the presentation. The topic for today is really about...
We see just the presentation on the screen, but we didn't see your face.
Oh, I thought I tried to put switch on my camera earlier. You can't see me?
Honorable members, did you see him? On my side, I don't see you. I see the presentation.
I don't know what happened, but my camera is on currently as we speak. I don't know what happened to my video settings.
Yeah, then I can see your camera is it's on.
Oh, I see. But I see what the challenge. I know what the challenge is. I've forgotten to
now
to just slide my camera on there.
Okay, I can see you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll go straight to my presentation. Let me just do this quickly. I'll be presenting about the National Radioactive Waste Management Plan in the country, what the landscape looks like, and what are we responsible for as a department. Perhaps the outlay will look like, I'll start with the purpose and go to the legislative background and radioactive waste management framework. I'll also provide you with the guidelines or the guiding elements for the waste management plans, later to be followed by the waste management plans and as to how these are handled, and give you the outlook going forward, and we'll also recommend in the process. Really, the purpose is to brief the select committee about the South African radioactive waste management strategies and the program itself. Also to request the select committee to note the South African radioactive waste management policy overview and requirements of waste management plans for the compliance of radioactive waste generators, and I will explain what I mean by that. The historical background or the historical overview is such that prior to 1994, South Africa or South African government had embarked on a full nuclear fuel cycle, or what one can call a full nuclear value chain, really starting from mining to waste management. It is such that you will have facilities such as your mining for uranium ore, which is used as feedstock in the fabrication of nuclear fuel. Then from there you go to mining and purification. You can also go up to conversion and enrichment. And then you can then fabricate the fuel, which then gets used into reactors. Once the fuel has been irradiated, like the fuel that we have now at Quebec Nuclear Power Plant, once it has been irradiated, you can then take it out as spent fuel. Then once you take it out as spent fuel, that's when the back end of the value chain starts, what we call the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. It then can either be reprocessed, or it can go up to storage for a very long period before you can dispose it off in designed facilities, which we call deep geological facilities. There are very few such in the world, with one that just came on board in Finland as we speak. But I'll come to those as I outline my presentation. So fast forward, we ended up with the legislative framework starting or dating as far back 1999, for which we had what we call the Nuclear Act 46 of 1999, in which Section 45 specifically stipulates that the authority over the management and discarding of radioactive waste and the storage thereof vests with the minister, in this case, Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy. Section 46, subsection 1, indicate that except where authorized by a ministerial authority issued under the Hazardous Substances Act of 1973, no person may, without written permission of the minister, discard radioactive waste in any manner, or at least cause it to be discarded. So why we mentioned the 1973 Substance Act is because Hazardous Substance Act is because you do have what we refer to as category 3 and 4 radioactive sources, which are mainly for use in hospitals and of course in other facilities, such as in your industrial applications, if you think of food irradiation as one example. So those sources are managed under Department of Health, under the act called Hazardous Substances Act. But the ones we'll be focusing on are those that are within the nuclear fuel cycle. Section 46, subsection 2, indicates that except with written permission of the minister, no person may irradiate fuel or at least cause it to be stored. So in other words, minister has to grant that permission. We also have the National Radioactive Waste Management Policy and Strategy of 2005, which had recommended that South Africa should establish what we call the National Committee on Radioactive Waste Management. We also had the policy recommending for the establishment of the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, which is now currently fully established since around 2015. We've had the board appointed already in 2014, and it is now functional. We've got the personnel from such an institution sitting with us now in this meeting today, the CEO and the COO. This act also indicates that, or rather it established the institute. It also fulfills the minister's responsibilities as stipulated under Section 45, subsection 1 of the Nuclear Energy Act. The institute manages all matters of radioactive waste disposal on a national basis, and the institute will, amongst others, source funds from a principle called polluter pays principles from the waste generators. And I'll give you an outline of what is meant by that. in this diagram, which is almost a depiction of the entire framework. Like I said, you will have the waste generators in a form. Currently in South Africa, the main ones will be your NECSA, which is the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, through their Safari 1 research reactor. They also do have a number of facilities that are research and development kind of facilities. You also have, NECSA is in somewhere in Pretoria, 30 kilometers outside of Pretoria, in a place called Pelindaba. You also have Quebec, which is 50 kilometers north of Cape Town. Quebec Nuclear Power Plant was commissioned in 1984, the first reactor, the second one, 1985. It is producing power for the country to the tune of 1.8 gigawatts of energy. Those are the main license holders, whom we refer to as waste generators. They do collect drums in the form of waste. If it's low level, this waste doesn't get classified. According to the policy, you'll have what we call low level waste. And then you'll also have low and intermediate level. And then of course you'll go up to what we call high level waste. High level waste is essentially spent fuel that has been declared as such before it can be either stored for long term and for later disposal. And I'll talk to those kind of disposals. So the disposal site is currently in a place called Salput, which is 100 kilometers, almost east of Springbok in the Northern Cape, in the middle of nowhere. The site was specifically chosen because of its characteristics, low rainfall patterns and all of that, so that the trenches that are dug there for disposal of waste can actually handle this waste properly. So this site has in the past been licensed under NECSA, but there are efforts now trying to get it licensed under the NRADI, which is the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute. And I think the institute is making headways to ensure that the license is fully, the license is now under NRADI. So the disposal site, which is called Falput Waste Disposal Site, will then collect waste from waste generators. As this waste gets delivered, it will have to be qualified in a form of what you call waste acceptance criteria, and then it will then be disposed of at that place. And the generators will be charged in accordance with a specific rate. If it's low-level waste, I can imagine this being rents per cubic meter of waste disposed, and then such user charge then gets exchanged between those that deliver the waste, which are waste generators, and then NRADI then receives the money. But at the moment, that money has been received by NECSA, as I said earlier. There are also efforts to establish what we call Radioactive Waste Management Fund. This fund will essentially be managed, and it is currently in the form of a bill that has already been approved by Cabinet for public comments. It is now going back through processes of NEDLAC so that it can go back to Cabinet for endorsement, and or rather later to Parliament for ratification. And once all of these processes have been completed, we'll have a fund that is fully established through the statute like that. And all of these waste generators will then put their money in that fund, for which NRADI, which is the disposal institute, will then source these funds from such a fund which is managed like that. And the committee, which is the committee I talked about earlier, that is called for by the policy, receives what we call waste management plans that then goes to the committee for assessment. And the policy guidelines have to be followed so that minister can therefore be apprised of such developments, because the minister is the ultimate arbiter in terms of all matters relative waste, and therefore the committee will then advise the minister based on their evaluations of such plans. And of course that consultation will also happen between the minister and those will be board of trustees that then manages the fund, And once approvals have been granted, NRADI will then be receiving such approvals from the minister insofar as the required authorizations. And of course, the fund is not, or rather NRADI is not only limited to funds coming from the fund itself, but it will also be other sources of funds, including loans, and of course the sales that will be in a form of research and development work that they will be doing in case they decide to go that route, because they are also a research institution. So this is essentially at a high level what the framework looks like. I'll go to the next slide. So like I indicated earlier, the framework is such that we follow the waste management model. The radioactive waste management process starts with the waste generators, which have potential radioactive waste that gets generated through a regulated process. The regulator, that is the National Nuclear Regulator, ensures that all matters of safety are observed because they are the safety authority in the country. The pre-disposal management of waste is also a matter that gets emphasized as we do assessment through that committee I mentioned. So the waste management plans must ensure that they, amongst others, follow the principles of waste minimization, issues of selection of suitable waste management options, following what we call best available technology, not exceeding excessive costs, an abbreviation called BATNIC there. And amongst others, the waste has to meet a criteria that is a waste acceptance criterion before the waste can get disposed of at such facilities, especially Falput that is now receiving low and intermediate level waste. The options, amongst others, for the waste management include the regulated storage and the disposal thereof. And of course, the relative waste management endpoints requires continued regulation of the disposal site for a predetermined duration whereafter the site shall be placed under what we call institutional control. In other words, soon after the site has been closed, that is the Falput site, when all the waste has been collected, then we give it a period for about the institutional period. Currently, the international benchmark is 300 years. And then later on, you can then, beyond that, perhaps even declare your site as safe. You can actually remediate your site to the level of reuse by all and sundry, and including the public, just so that it goes back to the clean level. So the guiding elements of the waste management plans include the establishment of NRADI, as I mentioned, to undertake waste disposal functions. The obligations are as stipulated in the Nuclear Energy Act. In other words, minister can decide who becomes the authority. In this case, the institutions fulfill such obligations of the minister under Section 55 of the Nuclear Energy Act. The committee has been established to provide strategic guidance on waste management issues and advise minister on mineral resources and energy, including on approvals of waste management plans. The committee comprises of regulatory departments that are independent from waste generators, such as your Department of Environmental, Forestry and Fisheries, the National Nuclear Regulator, Department of Water and Sanitation, and Department of Health through their entity called SAPRA. The guiding elements for waste management plans include, amongst others, the roles and responsibilities of stakeholders. In the case of minister, we also develop legislation, policy, and monitoring of such implementation of policies. And then you also have regulatory bodies. I mentioned already some of those that are forming part of the committee. And of course, the waste generators and operators to manage radioactive waste within the national regulatory framework. The definition and classification of radioactive waste is also one of the guiding elements. The IAEA will have its own guidelines to define how the waste should be classified, and any deviations should be justified. Every country or member state to the International Atomic Energy Agency will then derive their own waste classification schemes, but they will have to justify why their classification is following a particular guideline. And it will be through such policies that your regulator then draws their regulations out of such, so that they can then use this to oversee the regulatory aspects of waste generators. We do have our own waste classification under the 2005 Radio Waste Management Policy and Strategy, and that's the guiding principle for our waste management plans. So radioactive waste, it actually means any radioactive material destined to be disposed of as waste material. And like I said, currently our policy refers to spent fuel as used fuel. Once we declare it as waste, it will become high level waste to be disposed of. Perhaps NRADI will do investigations and research and development as to what are the future waste end options, one of which is being adopted worldwide, which is the deep geological facility. I think that would be the ultimate waste endpoint if we go that route. However, prior to that, you may want to store such a spent fuel over a long period of time, maybe 40 to 50 years, to allow for cooling of such in a centralized interim storage facility, which is another project that the NRADI is embarking on at the moment. They are at feasibility stage to ensure the execution of the project. The financial provisions are already mentioned. It's policy-based principle, and we have, as a department, at some point run a full study that indicates what may be cost associated to all of those based on the activity-based costing principles. We already have an idea of what it will cost you if you were to talk about costs coming from low-level waste as opposed to costs related to storage for interim storage facilities, and of course costs related to disposal. We have an idea of what it will cost because we did a study for the bigger program at the time. That was the 9.6 gigawatt, because we thought we were going to build such a big program at the time. However, the program has now been revised to 2,500 megawatts of the nuclear new build. The existing arrangements are such that you have waste disposal contracts. Currently, we have got a contract between Nexa and Eskom, because Nexa is still possessing the license, but ultimately the contract should be actually with NRADI. And of course, NRADI will have a contract with both Eskom and Nexa and other waste generators, because you can have a reverie and player at the same time. Nexa will be a reverie and player in this case. The disused field sources mainly will be coming from those hospitals I mentioned earlier, and SAPRA will have to then come on board so that we harmonize the regulatory system like that. So on the National Radioactive Waste Management Framework, the radioactive waste generators within the nuclear industry will develop such plans in consultation with NRADI. And then the plans will then have to be assessed by the committee I mentioned earlier, which is chaired by the department, and then for advice to the minister as to whether the plans are meeting the policy and strategy requirements. If so, then minister can grant authorization. We monitor such plans through the committee, as I mentioned earlier. The outcomes thereof informs the policy factors to be considered to ensure the minister's institutional obligations are met. Based on the evolution of these policy elements, the measures are taken by the department to improve the waste management framework as we go. South Africa commissioned the international mission in the recent past, around 2013 or so, or I think 2014, we had what we call Integrated Regulatory Review Mission, which is a mission conducted by the International Atomic Energy Agency to look at the national infrastructure in the country And one of the gaps that was identified at the time was for us to beef up our policy and strategy to really narrow down our options, because our policy was a bit wider in terms of the options we had chosen at the time. The other mission was conducted was an integrated nuclear infrastructure, rather integrated regulatory review service. This was in 2016, December. This was conducted by the IAEA also, mainly for looking at the regulatory aspects. It was headed by the regulator in this case, the National Nuclear Regulator, to look at what the gaps are. And indeed, following such, the IRS mission was mainly to say, look, go and also look at your decommissioning policy. Maybe you need one policy that can be able to guide the waste generators, how they will be decommissioning their facilities. So such a policy is also now under development. So we have since then developed, based on such recommendations, a national backend strategy that then supports the 2005 policy. So these initiatives are currently they're currently underway, and we're consulting with the stakeholders so that we close all the loops. So yeah, I think I've covered that part. The long-term radioactive waste management options currently in the country are for the above. That is so far the output that are coming out of the strategy developments are indicating that we'll have to go for an above ground disposal in engineered facilities for the bulk of mining, because we also have a lot of mining waste in the country, most of which in the form of mine tailings. And then of course you also have the near surface disposal for low and intermediate level waste. South Africa has in a place called Falput in Springbok, a facility for low-level waste disposal, and it has been operating since 1986 successfully. So the high-level waste is currently stored on-site by the waste generators. If you were to go to Quebec, you'll really find that they take this thing out of the reactor, put it in pools for cooling to later be stored in dry storage casks. Then this cask can then later be moved to a centralized interim storage facility that Onradi is working on. We think it will be ready by 2030, and that feasibility indicates as such. We should be procuring such in the next year or two. The high-level waste is currently stored on-site. Like I said, for Nexa, it will be also on-site Nexa. The inventories published are actually taken to a joint convention report. We also are a member of the joint convention under the International Atomic Energy Agency. We go for peer reviews every 3 years with other member states, and then we indicate where we are with waste management issues and the safety of radioactive waste management, and where there are gaps, we guide each other as to what needs to happen. So there are some few commitments that we already made in such a convention, where we indicated we are also working on the centralized interim storage facility, and it will come online 2030. So the future outlook is that Onradi will have to beef up its research and development to find solutions for long-term waste management. And they may want to also do siting, the designing and construction of new disposal facilities that will be required. And Onradi is currently focusing on providing solutions for long-term management and the disposal of spent fuel. A centralized interim storage facility being one facility that has to start storing spent fuel coming from the waste generators, in particular Eskom and Nexa in this case. And we think that we should also be having a deep geological facility around 2065 once Onradi has done such investigations. So one site shall be developed for each of the waste classes. We exclude NOM. NOM is naturally occurring radioactive waste material, mainly for mine tailings, as regulated by the National Nuclear Regulator. Because of the bulkness of the waste that it produces. So for the purpose of site investigations done by Onradi, this will be excluded. The idea here is to maximize benefits from economies of scale for all activities associated with disposal of waste management. In this case, we also think a site that is Falputz may end up actually also being earmarked for long-term storage in the form of the facility I mentioned, which is centralized interim storage facility. So when we do site investigations, we're already going to have such a site as a candidate site until we characterize, and if it's suitable, it will then be preferred site. Falputz shall continue to be used as a national disposal site for low and intermediate level waste, and the DMRE continues to monitor progress and provide guidance on the NRADI license applications process to operate Falputz. Currently, NRADI is embarking on the process of getting the license moved from Nexa to themselves, like I said earlier, and we have a transitional arrangement committee that focuses on those elements between ourselves, Nexa, and NRADI to ensure a seamless transition like that. The government shall initiate investigations into the best long-term options for management of used fuel. And we're doing this together with NRADI. The DMRE is developing the backend strategy, like I said, and it is almost all to the level of incorporating inputs coming from all the stakeholders to ensure coordination and phased approach in the implementation of such. One of the facilities that ESCOM came up with, they call it a transient interim storage facility. This is almost like a facility on site, but it will have to link with the centralized interim storage facility, which is off-site. Off-site is almost a recommended approach, especially following the Fukushima accident. It has been found that the best approach should actually be to store this kind of spent fuel outside of the facility instead of on-site. So there are efforts of linking the two projects. And of course, the deep geological facility is one of those facilities. Government shall establish a regulatory waste management fund to ensure that there are sufficient provisions for the long-term management options of the various waste forms. Such a fund to address these funding arrangements for disposal has already passed cabinet, like I said, and public comments are being addressed prior to it being submitted back to cabinet to seek for tabling in parliament. So there is work underway in that case. So to just conclude, and also make some recommendations. It is recommended that the select committee note that South Africa has a well-established radioactive waste management framework and waste is safely managed. Also for the select committee to note that radioactive waste management framework is being improved through policy and strategy enhancement based on IAEA missions I indicated earlier that were conducted in the recent past. Also for the select committee to note that government continues to exercise oversight on implementation of the radioactive waste management plans through the committee that is already established, the committee's advising minister for decisions to be made in case authorizations are warranted. Note that both waste generators such as ESCOM and Nexa have submitted their overarching radioactive waste management plans to the department for ministerial approval. The ESCOM one has already been approved, albeit with indications that every time there is a waste management, or rather there is a project to be, like let's say for instance, a steam generator replacement project. This will have a specific waste stream which will require a standalone plan. So those kind of standalone plans will have to then be assessed on the basis of the overarching plan. The overarching plan was approved. And then going forward, we're going to look at waste specific streams so that this gets assessed as we go like that. But it doesn't end there. In the end, the National Nuclear Regulator will have to also go in there and look at the safety assessment reports that get submitted to ensure that all of this work happens in a safe manner and we are all safe as a country. So I want to end the presentation here and hand it back to Mr. Makubela. Thank you very much.
Dr. Makubela, do we have anything to add on?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I seem to have lost my video.
But I see you. You are there.
Okay, no, thank you. I can't see myself. No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, that is the presentation. I think in conclusion, Chair, what we want to indicate is that in the country, radioactive waste is really well managed. And as Mr. Mapoto has indicated, highly regulated through the National Nuclear Regulator. And that we subject ourselves as a country to peer review, from other countries, but also then through the International Atomic Energy Agency. And that we have, radioactive waste, as was indicated, is a long-term issue. It requires strong institutions, why focusing on strengthening of NROADI. And one last thing that we want to indicate, it is long intergenerational, so information would need to be passed from one generation to the next in terms of all the arrangements that have been made for managing waste. Chair and honorable members, that is our presentation. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Makubela. Honorable members, before I give you, let me welcome the presentation. Now I give to you, honorable members, for question. If you have any clarity on this presentation. I see the hand of Honorable Mamangwenya. Those are the only two hands that I recognize for now. You can start, Honorable Mama.
Chair, and good morning all the members of the committee, also for the presentation. Chairperson, thank you for recognizing me, and I have the following question to ask to the department. My first question is based on international countries with successful radioactive waste. I wanted to find out whether there are any international countries which have successful radioactive waste management plan, and if yes, which are those countries? My second question is on international principles. South Africa is a member state of the International Atomic Energy Agency. I wanted to check if there are any international principles which the member state and expected to comply with for the safe management for radioactive waste. The third question, Chair, is based on the National Executive Committee on Radioactive Waste Management. How often do the government department meet with part of the National Executive Committee on a radioactive waste management, and what are the key discussion and recommendation that have been produced so far by this National Forum on the radioactive waste management? Thanks, Chairperson. I will pause for now and wait for the response. Ngiyabonga, Chair.
Nyabonga mama. Mama Ngwe, mama BB, and you follow by Ndate Chocolate, Honorable Nana.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you so much. But my video is not showing here. I don't know why.
No, we can see you, Mama.
Okay, thank you so much, Chairperson. Good morning to you, good sir. And also to the acting DG, and also officials and our members. Chairperson, I've got only two questions to the department. And the first one, it will be acting DG, in your last slide, who's legally in conclusion and recommendations, you mentioned that both West generators, such as ESCOM and NEXA, submitted their overarching radioactive waste management plans to the department for state approval. Now, Chairperson, my question is, when did they submit their plans to you, department, and what is the turnaround period for the department to consider a place for approval? And again, I've got number two is Valpet, which is located in southeast of Springbok in the Northern Cape province, still used as a national disposal site for low and intermediate level waste. If yes, is it complying fully with international standards? And which year is it expected to reach its capacity? Thank you so much, Chairperson. Those were my two questions.
Thank you, Mama. Honorable Nana?
Sure. Thanks, Chairperson. Please allow me not to switch on my video. Chairperson, you will recall that this presentation comes to us as a result of a meeting we held with the department, in which we, through your leadership, we resolved that we should actually invite the department to come back and report to us about their nuclear waste management strategy, particularly as it relates to Quebec nuclear power station, because on the day of the meeting, members raised concerns about the extension of the life of Quebec by another 20 years. And our discomfort as a committee was really around waste management plans at Quebec as the power station grows older and older. So I'm quite pleased that you have managed to bring the department to present to us on waste nuclear on waste management. My question, Chairperson, is more of a comment. You know, some of the alarm has been raised by environmentalists, by environmental organizations, and individuals who are experts in the field of nuclear, to say the further extension of the lifespan of Quebec might have detrimental unintended consequences. Now, I would want to check with the department how much of engagement and interaction do you guys have with the bodies and individuals that I have just mentioned? Do you take into account or do you take into consideration concerns that they raise? Do you give heed to the advices they give? Because some of them, if not all of them, are experts in the field, and I admit I'm a complete novice. But do you guys listen and engage with experts in the field so that we avoid unintended consequences? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Mam Lip Bibi, I see your hand, but I don't know, is it a legacy hand?
Sorry, Chairperson, it's my legacy hand. Sorry, Mama. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Members. Ntate Makubela, time for you. Honorable Magwala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me greet the members and greet the department and their acting leaders and all. Chairperson, mine has been covered mostly by Mamangwe, but I just wanted to ask from the department in terms of this established radioactive waste management time framework and waste safety management in terms of compliance. If these SOEs are not compliant in terms of this waste management and how safe it is as well in terms of the implementation of it, and it's going to be monitored in terms of this SOE, ESCOM and NESCA in terms of their strategy that they have already submitted the LADOG, the department. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Magwana. And your team, can you respond?
No. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you to the Honorable Members for the question. I am going to respond to one question and then ask Mr. Maphoto to deal with the others. The one that I wanted to focus on, and he will also add on that one, is the question from Honorable Nana. So the extension of Quebec, the life of Quebec, I believe long time coming, and there have been extensive studies done to make sure that this can be executed in a safe manner. The peers of the Quebec power plants that have a similar process and have done so successfully. We have a team, there's a team that is currently at Quebec to, you know, change some of the components there. And that team comprises of some of the best, experts in the field internationally. We also, on the issue of radioactive waste management, we have you know, within the department, but also in Rwadi. We have, you know, just to give an example of the kind of skill that we have, you know, one of the senior leaders, in fact, the CEO of NROADI, some time ago, was the first woman in South Africa to qualify as a nuclear engineer. And this was some time ago. And we have many such experts in the nuclear sector. And we don't, you know, some of them serve in international organizations and they acquit themselves very well. So we do have, you know, confidence that we have built the skill to be able to undertake all that is required. I want to just indicate, to illustrate this, that a number of our young black nuclear professionals are actually running power stations in the United States in demand internally, and they have been able to acquit themselves quite well. One of the engagement, there are public information firms that are mandated in all the nuclear installations. Those should engage with members of the public on regular basis, and that is happening. If heated engagements, which is fine. But what we as a department believe is that there is a role for nuclear energy and energy mix, and that, you know, we should not be very emotional when it comes to this matter. The government has invested quite a lot.
Submit this, and when did Nexus submit this?
Mr. Maputo, can you please mute yourself.
Okay, sorry about that. Apologies.
So, Chair, I think that that is what I wanted to indicate. On the IAEA principle, the question asked by Honorable Ngwenya, I will deal with that. There are the second question. International principles for management of radioactive waste. And in fact, a team from South Africa was involved in the development of those international principles that guide management of radioactive waste internationally. The other issues I am going to, maybe the last one, Chair, that I will deal with is FALPETS, asked by Honorable BB. The FALPETS lifespan, in fact, FALPETS as a site is recognized internationally as one of the best sites for low immediate level waste. We do, when it was constructed, to ensure that it can handle waste from, not only from Quebec, but also low and intermediate level waste from any other nuclear installation. So I believe that there is adequate capacity to cater for waste for the current life of Quebec as well as the extended life. But I think the details will come from Mr. Maphoto when he responds. I think I will end it there, Chair, and then ask Mr. Maphoto to deal with the other questions with the team. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Maphoto.
Thank you, Denise. Apologies, I forgot to unmute earlier. yes, around the questions that were asked, I'll start maybe with the question by Honorable Ngwenya. She wanted to know, based on international benchmark, what other countries really have this kind of management plans? I must indicate that as a member state to the International Atomic Energy Agency, we noticed that there are more than 77 or so member states that are member of the Joint Convention. And the bulk of such is actually formed by countries that do have nuclear programs, in particular nuclear power plants and research reactors. There will be countries that have nuclear power plants and research reactors all in the same breath, and we call those the big countries. Close to more than 10 or even more than 10 countries are actually the countries that have got a nuclear program that includes even waste management, as in waste end options. Some of the countries that are member states may not necessarily have nuclear power, but they will only have research. And of course, there will be those countries that are just joining, newcomer states, that are willing to introduce a nuclear program, but they will still be regarded as member states. So if you ask this advanced, I will say countries like Sweden, countries like Finland, they are more advanced in the manner in which they've introduced their waste end options, to the extent that they have introduced waste disposal facilities that include the deep geological, with the Finnish now almost commissioning their deep geological facility, which is a waste end option that the whole world have all been looking forward to. And of course, you do have big countries like your United States, your French, your China, that also have this kind of plans, waste management plans. We are also not a newcomer country. We come a long way. Prior to 1994, we had a full nuclear value chain starting from mining to waste management. We do have such waste management plans in place. But like I say, each country customizes the convention articles to their own needs, and depending on the size of your nuclear program, you can either have a manageable program or your program may be as complex. Countries like America with more than 100 nuclear power plants or other nuclear reactors, those will have a bit of a more complex waste management programs. Maybe to move to the next question, how often does the committee meet? The terms of reference indicate that the committee should meet on quarterly basis. However, sometimes where there's a need for special meetings, we do arrange such meetings so that we can have follow-ups. Like in the case where we don't understand something through the assessment process, we will then call over the waste generators to come and present the matter. Then we'll have further discussions about it. A process that may end up leading to such an authorization, because the reason why we've got other departments such as environmental affairs is for them to have a look at what other environmental requirements are needed in line with the NEMA Act, and of course water and sanitation to also look at what other water permits may be required in cases of this kind of authorizations. So every one of those departments we'll have a role to play, and then we do an assessment of the plans, and we approve as such. So approval may actually even take up to 6 months from which the initial submission was actually submitted, and then we start that process of of engaging with the the submission to the extent that we then end up briefing the minister on the matter and granting the approval, or maybe asking for further information when it's being. But the process doesn't end there. Even if minister then grants authorization, you still need an initial process to be initiated with the regulator to really look at issues of safety. And on all of these are all encompassing, and Mr. Makubela touched on it, to how do we then engage the public. There is a legislated process through what you call Public Safety Information Forum. This is also facilitated by the regulator, the National Nuclear Regulator, where all members of the public get engaged on matters of nuclear installations, especially within the vicinity of such facilities. If it's Quebec, then you'll have a community around Quebec rallied around to actually come and have a discussion with them, educate them on all matters of waste management issues where appropriate. And similarly, for the case of Nexa, you'll have maybe communities around Pelindaba and other interested parties will also be invited. The process of licensing is such that it's embedded in it. You will have public participation that is part of the licensing process for both two-tier regulatory systems. If it's for the nuclear installation license, you'll have then the regulator through its program going out to the public, actually talking to all and sundry about the process and people submitting what their concerns are based on a public information document that will have been shared with everyone as a redacted information coming from a submission from the license holder. Especially when it comes to selection of sites, that's what will happen. So such public engagements are really process based, and I believe also in this will also include the environmental department, where they will have their own public participation process to look at issues of fauna and flora and other environmental aspects. However, in the process, we also have a communication strategy which we are trying to implement in the department. And in the process, we'll have seminars organized. We'll have conferences where we go to the public to talk about all matters of nuclear. And often we invite minister to come and talk to the public about this kind of things. So we do try and communicate, but we do realize that we've got a very strong presence of anti-lobbyists in the country, but we will try and invite them and actually educate them on the subject. That's in case the alarms are raised, and where appropriate, articles will be written to demystify the myths. I don't know if I'm missing any other questions. Maybe if I've missed some, I do have colleagues from NRADI who can come in to assist where I may have missed some of the questions. Over to you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Sway. Was just waiting to get to check whether your colleagues from RADI, they are adding something. That's why I was quiet.
Another question I think that was asked was, when were the plans submitted? There's a plan for Quebec that was submitted in 2021. It was finally processed and assessed, and the authorization was granted. It was an overarching plan. The one for Nexa was submitted in 2022, and work is underway. There's been a number of meetings we had, but the committee met recently to finalize, and I think the response letter is en route to reach Nexa.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe at this point, let me just explain the
the approval.
Before you, Dr. Mascovela, I can see the hand of Ms. Margaret Mukosi.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Ms. Margaret?
Good afternoon, honorable members and our colleagues at DMRE. I would just like to say some of the questions we did not hear. We have a very unstable network.
In
and around the
Chairperson, I do not know whether I am the only one struggling to hear.
That's why I'm trying to call. Doesn't even hear me. Ms. Makosi?
We started the campaign of public
awareness. Mrs. Mukosi, we can't hear you. Ms. Mukosi, we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
She is in the Northern Cape as part of our transitional.
Chairperson, can you ask the acting DDG? Can you ask the acting DDG to call Mrs. Mukosi?
On the side. Mr. Mukosi, can you call her on the side because we can't hear Dr. Mukosi.
We
can't hear you really. Your network is very, very bad. If you do have any answers, you can send us those answers, Doc. We will really appreciate to have them. But for you to speak, we can't hear you. Your network is bad. We know it's not because you don't want to answer, it's because you don't have a network. Thank you. Didi?
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. And apologies for that. Chair, all I wanted to indicate, Chair, is that on the issue of these the plans, it becomes an iterative process. So when a plan is submitted, there is the waste generator is then asked to come and clarify certain issues. So there is a back and forth, and hence the timeline that seem to be long, but it's because of that iterative process, which is very normal in the nuclear sector, because once you take a decision, you need to make sure that you've actually addressed any issues and that as the decision maker, you may still have. I just wanted to clarify that, Chair. Thank you very much. Those are our responses, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, Ntate Maqhubela. Honorable members, those are the response. I don't know whether do you have any, still have any questions or clarity seeking questions.
No, Chairperson, I would actually re-emphasize the point you made that we stand to lose valuable information that the Mrs. who was responding a short while ago, we couldn't due to connectivity issues. I really would want to re-emphasize the point that her responses be submitted in writing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. And also, she was saying she was in and out from the meeting. She didn't get your all the questions that was raised. It means all members that have raised questions, they can submit those questions to the department and then they will send to her. All the questions that you, honorable members, have asked, you can submit to Bulelwa, Bulelwa submit to Ntate Maqhubela. Ntate Maqhubela will send to Dr. Mkhosi to respond in writing. Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to thank you, department, and all Nrwadi to be in this meeting. This presentation is very, very important for us, as we requested it last time. Ntate Maqhubela, we thank you for standing for the DG and do marvelous job to present to us. We were waiting for this presentation so that when we go to oversight, we must know that fortunately the department presented to us, because we still going, we'll still go to the oversight to check whether the presentation is the same as what will be seen there. Now, you can say something before I release you, Mr. Maqhubela, and your team.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We once again thank Honorable Chair and members for the honor to appear before the Select Committee. We commit, Chair, that we will submit supplementary responses that cover, you know, what Dr. Mkhosi wanted to share with the committee, and we will submit these, Chair, by no later than the Monday, the 26th, Chair, if that is acceptable. And we do look forward to hosting you and the committee chair at FALPES and any other oversight that the committee would want to undertake. Chair, we thank you once again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ntate Maqhubela, for responding. Yes, you can send them those questions, I mean those answers, by Monday, the 26th. You are welcome. Now you are released. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Madam. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Honorable members, when I look at the members in the platform, we are not correcting to one, two, three. Honorable members, let's continue with the next item, which is adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting. Let me put in front of you the minutes of the previous minutes, the minutes of the previous meeting for perusal to check whether do you have any thing that you want to raise before I can call for the adoption? Here is the attendance of the meeting. Those who are in the present, those who are apologized. Okay. Members, this is the minutes of the previous meeting. I put it in front of you for the adoption.
Chairperson.
Honorable Mama.
Mama, PP proposed the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mama. Any second?
Chair, Ngwenya, second, the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Is
Chair? Chairperson?
Tate, honorable Nana.
Is it allowed for people to second and to propose and second whilst we're not in the meeting? The two members were not in this meeting.
No, sometimes he make us to wake up if they are sleeping on duty. Thank you very much for that, Honorable Nana. Honorable members, thank you very much for availing yourself for this meeting. I hope we are going to see you next week at the oversight. That oversight is very critical. We need you there. I know that it will be on the constituency, but we are just taking only 4 days from our constituency days. And then the whole of 2 months will be home. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Amanda, please check your WhatsApp messages with my travel plans. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Now I can hear you. You are on.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much. This meeting is officially adjourned.